Welcome, Hawk fans. Welcome to another episode of Hawk Talk. I am your host, Colin Cole. And of course, I am joined by my resident guest host, the two-time All-Conference, the three-year starter at right tackle, the luxury real estate mogul up there in Chicago, Illinois, Mr. David Porter. David, thank you for joining me today.
Dude, glad to be here. Always fun. Gobble, gobble, turkey day, man. Let's do this.
Yeah, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there enjoying the holiday and the festivities. I hope everybody enjoyed some time with some people that you enjoyed to spend time with. And so with that, we got to get into this special edition because tomorrow is the game. We got to jump right into it. Nebraska Cornhuskers will be traveling up to Iowa City to take on the Iowa Hawkeyes. And David, man, it's been quite a tremendous season thus far for the Hawks, but here it is. They have a tremendous opportunity to go ahead and get back into the Big Ten championship game with a win over the Nebraska Cornhuskers. The 7-4 Hawks have a chance of going not just being on the winning side of the season, but being 8-4 and have an opportunity to, obviously, like I said, get into the Big Ten championship game. Also, obviously, sights set on what bowl season has to offer for them. But before we get into any of that, David, got to take on these Nebraska Cornhuskers, who these same Iowa Hawkeyes have won 8 straight against. And so at this point, these guys are playing for postseason accolades. But Nebraska Cornhuskers, I watched the film on these guys, and they are not a three. They don't play like a 3-8 outfit. They play like a team that has done some pretty good damage this season. Obviously, they suffered the loss of their head coach Scott Frost at the beginning of the season, who was fired because of how the season had gone. We talked about this earlier in the season when we talked about Wisconsin, or was it Northwest? One of those teams. The team that they played first to open up the season, it was Northwestern. They traveled over to I want to say Dublin, Ireland, to play that game, and they had a chance to win that game against the Northwestern Wildcats, and unfortunately, Northwestern came back in the waning seconds of that game to claim that victory. But this Wisconsin outfit has played well throughout the season, and it doesn't reflect this 3-8 mark, man. What do you see from this team offensively, first of all, when we talk about looking at them? They don't have tremendous stats in terms of what they're putting up. Let me reframe that. I'm sorry. Let me reframe that. They do have tremendous stats. However, they don't have it on the field. Casey Thompson, quarterback, he has thrown 153 completions for 244 attempts and 2,129 passing yards. He has 14 touchdowns, but he has also thrown 10 interceptions. Chuba Purdy has come in to relieve him. He's thrown 22, so he's thrown 47 passes. He's completed 22 of them. He's thrown 0 touchdowns, but thrown 3 interceptions. So they've had a little bit of both guys. But I've seen more of Casey Thompson. He's more of a runner. He's done a tremendous job throughout the season of keeping. I'm wrong about that. I'm not wrong about that. I thought it was. It's Chuba Purdy who's the guy that's the runner. He's carried the ball 24 times for 73 yards and 3 and 2 touchdowns. So not necessarily Casey Thompson, who was the starting quarterback, but Chuba Purdy, who's come in and relieved him and played in some meaningful snaps in some meaningful games. Had some carries and had some touchdowns and success. But for the most part, Casey Thompson is going to be the one taking the snaps. He's going to be the one tossing the ball around. And it's going to be the first one for the Huskers. So what have you seen from this offense? And what is going to be some of the main things that the Hawks got to focus in on and taking away?
So the main thing I saw from this offense, and I watched them play Minnesota. I watched the Nebraska-Minnesota game. They can really run the ball effectively. That offensive line they have, they're big. They can actually pass protect pretty well too. They move their feet, which I really like to see those big guys be able to do that. But the main thing is they can run the ball. I think one of the first plays they had offensively was a run, and it was actually between the tackles. The guy broke for 35 yards. He made a guy miss in the hole that made a cut to the left. Hey, he's out 35 yards. After what we saw against Minnesota with that run, that's one of the things we talked about in the last episode about how we have to shore that up. that this is going to be a pretty good test. Like you said, the Nebraska's 3-8 record is not really representative of the kind of team that they are. They've had some close games. They've had some really tough losses, and they've faced some adversity this year. So, as you know, losing your head coach is a big deal. So these guys are not quite what the record represents, but they're still a team, I think, especially on the offense side compared to our defense. I don't see where they really come out of the thing with the victory at all. My goodness. I mean, our defense is the best.
It is interesting, bro, because obviously they have to find themselves. And Scott Frost being fired after that Georgia Southern game, which they lost 45 to 42, definitely put their season in a tailspin. However, they got a 1-point win against Rutgers. They also have a win against who else did they beat this season in the Big Ten? They didn't really beat anybody other than Rutgers in the Big Ten. And then they beat North Dakota State as well as, Indiana. I'm sorry. They beat Indiana.
What was the score against North Dakota State?
North Dakota State, they lost 38. Oh, I'm sorry. They beat North Dakota State 38 to 17. North Dakota. I don't even know if that's North Dakota State, but North Dakota, they beat 38 to 17.
Oh, okay.
So they beat them. They lost to Georgia Southern. They beat Rutgers, and they beat Indiana. So they haven't tasted victory since October 7th. They haven't won a game. So they've been riding a 7-game losing streak, or five game losing streak. So
And that L train.
they're gonna be coming up in to Kinnick with a different mindset, trying to spoil the Hawks' opportunities and try with upset mind for sure. I didn't see a whole lot from them in terms of how they are, I do want to correct myself. I do want to correct myself. In terms of the quarterback, Casey Thompson, I mentioned that he's not as much of a runner. No, he's definitely a runner. He's got -6 yards on the season currently, but that's on 51 attempts. So he's got a bunch of attempts where he's got positive yards, but he's also taking some sacks.
He's going the wrong way. He just
taking some sacks as well. But he's also got 5 rushing touchdowns. He's got a long of 31 yards, and
you
he's
just
got
can't get right. Like,
No, but he
you're
gets
going the wrong
sacked
way,
too.
dude. Go
No, he's
the
playing
other
for
way.
Nebraska. No, he's playing for Nebraska.
Fall forward,
They're
dude. Fall
still
forward.
trying to
That's the way you're supposed to do this for real.
figure things out on the offensive side of the ball. Obviously, been a few wins, but Casey Thompson is definitely a run threat. Just like the other quarterback that I mentioned, he's also a run threat. In the receiving core, Trey Palmer has 62 receptions for 878 yards and 7 touchdowns, so he is definitely their go-to receiver. Every other receiver has a half of that. Marcus Washington is 28 receptions for 419 yards, no touchdowns. Travis Wokolek, he's got 20 receptions for 240 yards and 2 touchdowns. Oliver Martin, 10 catches, 188 yards. They go down from there. So their go-to guy, Trey Palmer, 62 catches, 878 yards, almost 1,000 yards on the season, 7 touchdowns. He's got a long of 72. So Trey Palmer is going to be their go-to receiver. He's going to be the guy that quarterback Casey Thompson looks to when he's in distress. And they're definitely he's done a tremendous job of finding him. So and for Nebraska's offense, run heavy. Anthony Grant is the bell cow in terms of who will be getting the load of the carries in the game, in this game. And then you add Trey Palmer, the wide receiver, to the mix. He's definitely done a tremendous job. Travis Vokolek, the tight end, has done a tremendous job as well. So offensively, they got a bit pretty balanced attack. They still got a lot of work to do. They have a pretty balanced attack. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see how it shakes
I'm
out.
telling you, they're not a bad team. I just don't think their offense matches up with our defense. And, they're going to try and pass the ball. I think our ball hawks are just going to do what they do. Thank you.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. They definitely have a great opportunity to continue down the road that they've been so far. Switching over onto the defensive side, they're led by linebacker Luke Raymer. He's got 8 of 6 tackles on the season, 1 sack, 1 pass defense, 1 interceptions. And then everybody else, secondary is kind of the next in line, and they're in the mid-60s for tackles. And then Garrett Nelson is a defensive end that has a number of sack tackles. Oh, excuse me, number of tackles, and well as he's coming into Kinnick with 5.5 sacks. So Garrett Nelson will be an issue to have to find and locate and have to take away in terms of what his sack production has been throughout the season. But More importantly, David, what do these Hawks need to do to come out with a victory on Friday?
Really, with Sam LaPorta down, I mean, they're already putting out that Luke Lachey is going to have to be doing he's doing a bigger role in the offense. Now, we know Sam might be a little dinged up. He didn't come back the last game. So we really need to get the run going, right? Get Keegan Johnson the ball, let him get going, and then get that offensive line just boom. I don't know if they're going to put LaShawn back there, but if he, I mean, we get that running game going, that'll take some pressure off of the receivers, the tight ends. They'll be able to get open more, go some play action, some bootleg action. That will really help out a lot. I'd get the running game going with this offensive line, especially being so young, getting that push as they're getting ready, hopefully for grander things. That'll be good for them to get their fits in. Really good.
You know, it's been a long season, David. It's been a long season. Obviously, the Hawks 7-4, 11 games into the season. It's been, you know, they had that three-game streak early on, well, a couple weeks ago. They've been on a four-game streak currently. So it's been a tremendous season. Spencer's at 1,716 passing yards on 156 completions on 275 attempts. Five touchdowns, five interceptions, but zero turnovers over the course of the last four games that these Hawks are on this current streak. Caleb Johnson who has taken over the running back duties. Obviously, it's still running back committee, but Caleb is the front runner. He has 126 carries on 65. I'm sorry, 126 carries for 653 yards, 75 of it for his long five touchdowns. Deshaun Williams, 367 yards, two touchdowns. Gavin Williams, 133 yards, and no touchdowns. It's been a little bit of a difficult year for Gavin. He's struggled and he's battled with some injuries, so it's been a tough one for him. But these Hawks have leaned heavily on the run. And you add in Spencer's 174 negative rusher yards from sacks and negative plays.
Wait, how many yards? What was that?
174 of negative rushing yards for that total. You got 1,043 yards total for the rushing yards. Like you mentioned, Sam LaPorta, the leading receiver, is down. The next guy in line in terms of receptions is Nico Reganey with 25 and 305 receiving yards. But he and Sam both have one touchdown on the season. Luke Lachey has himself two touchdowns. So him stepping into the starting role will be a definite added. It'll be a different change, but how do you envision Luke Lachey's emergence or him being thrust into the starting lineup with Sam being out of the game or being out this upcoming Friday? How is that going to affect the Hawks' offensive performance?
Actually, I expect Luke to rise to the opportunity. Really, I do. He has the body type that's more traditional of a tight end. He's a lot looser on his hips. So, he's able to run, I mean, just as good of, if not better, routes than Sam. He is young. I'm pretty sure he's going to rise to the occasion. I'm excited to see what he does out there. I really do. Sam is phenomenal as a tight end. Yeah, we're tied in you for a reason.
So, you know, Sam is 6'4", 249 pounds, and he is a senior, as you already know. Luke Lachey is actually a sophomore, and he is 6'6", 6'6", 252 pounds. So slightly different body build, a little bit bigger guy, Luke Lachey. So it'd be an opportunity for him to step into the role, take over that spot for this weekend, and show obviously what these Show these Hawkeye coaches, show Abdul Hodge, the tight ends coach, what he can do as a starter and see if he can't keep himself in that starting role. Or, you know, obviously when Sam comes back, he's obviously get put back in that position. But obviously moving forward and what next season holds for Luke obviously gets the opportunity to really get himself in proper position right now with this upcoming game against Nebraska. And then you know, still got the Big Ten championship game. They go ahead and pull out this win. Let's jump into, man. I mean, we talked about a couple of weeks ago. We were sitting here thinking that these Hawks were dead in the water, not really knowing if they were even going to be able to make it to a bowl game. And then four game win streak, and now they are in position, obviously, to go ahead and supplant themselves in the Big Ten West title run and represent the West. So the miraculous turn has really transformed, David. What was the biggest part of this Hawkeye offense in terms of getting themselves back on track and getting themselves in position to be able to be a force, over the course of these last four games, though, going into this Nebraska game and heading down the wire?
Well, it just so the beginning of the season, I get like we played against different caliber talent. I'm going to put it out there. Michigan and Ohio State, they're different. They're different kind of players out there. Illinois, they came in. We went there, and at that time, Illinois was on a good run, and they're really doing some great things over there. Iowa State, that loss was really tough. Great opportunity to make a statement and go there. That fumble, that hurt. We've had our opportunities there. As the season has gone on, we start to see the wins that we've gotten with this team. It's one of those things where you start to look at who we're playing against. Like, we talked about Northwestern. We did. And they're cool. That's going to be a good game for them to go in there and get their confidence up. That's what we talked about.
They also played Purdue. They beat Purdue at in at
They
Purdue.
beat Purdue. Yeah,
Yep.
Purdue.
Then they
That
won at home against Wisconsin, and they won in Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got the confidence, and then they started to like actually pick up the steam, and the confidence built into like guys actually doing and being where they're supposed to be on offense. The timing started to get better. Confidence comes from guys knowing what the heck they're supposed to do. The guys when they first came in, they didn't know what they were going to do. They didn't even know what the heck they were doing. We had offensive coordinator, also the quarterback's coach, and he's never done. He's never been a quarterback's coach. That's kind of an issue. So he's learning on the job. It is what it is. That's what he did. That's what happened. So I'm imagining things got better incrementally on offense. It's like, hey, the more things got better, stop making those old mistakes. Ta-da, we're performing better. It's kind of how it goes. They got more confidence. The guys know that they know what they're doing, which is a big deal, especially as the offensive line started to get better. You see the offensive line, the number of sacks that have actually happened for Spencer, right? They've actually gone down per game. The last game against Minnesota was one sack, and that was because Spencer missed the blitzer coming from the right. That's on him. That's really on him. So that O-line, in my mind, didn't give up a sack that game. So that maturation for those guys is a big deal. You're talking about the offense coming together, it's the way the O-line goes. Anyone who plays on offense knows it. The O-line is the way it goes. And this O-line has gotten better.
Yes, we've talked a lot about this offensive line's growth and how it would catapult this team, and this team's growth would obviously would I shouldn't say obviously, but this team's growth would be more dictated along the lines of what this offensive line was capable of doing and how it was able to grow, and has done a tremendous job throughout the season. We talked about some of the stuff that it was giving up in terms of the offensive line, the group of five. Across the front, there have been times clearly that they've underperformed and given up sacks as well as given up penetration by the defensive line and run blocking. So these last four games win streak, I would say that they've definitely shored up some of those areas and have done a tremendous job of fixing some of those problems. Now, it's not all fixed, it's not all perfect. However, those
No.
guys have done a lot of work to regain that ability and have done a tremendous job in focusing and staying strong throughout the season. So it's really a great opportunity for these guys going into this game against Nebraska. Final thoughts, David, and your score for Friday.
Wow. Final thoughts, overall for Iowa. I'm actually very happy for the kids that they've grown up throughout this whole process, throughout the season. The defense and the special teams continue to be special. I think that's going to be a theme here. We start calling that defense the wall. Holy smokes. But if we don't get that running game going and get it going early, this could be a really long day. And like I said, these guys aren't their record doesn't really isn't really indicative of the team that they really are. So we still have to go in there and take care of business. But if we don't, there's a good chance. There is a chance that these guys could do something and maybe come out with a victory. Got it. It even hurt me to say it. So, yeah, we go out there and take care of business. We're good to go. I still think God, I was going to say 10-17. 10-17 Hawks. 10, yeah, 10-17 Hawks. 8-24.
I would say that much along the lines of what you're already talking about, it really comes down to how we continue to play in the trenches. And you know, I've talked about this every week for the last couple of weeks. Trench play on both sides of the ball is always the biggest key for me. When you still have an offense that ranks near the bottom or at the bottom of the barrel, or I should say bottom of the league in terms of offensive statistics in most of the major categories, this offense still ranks near the bottom, but they dug themselves a pretty big hole throughout the course of the season. So it's been tough for them to dig out of that. But this defense has to be able to do what it's done all season, really control the line of scrimmage, create opportunities for turnovers, and really make the opposing offense uncomfortable, make the opposing quarterbacks uncomfortable. That's going to be one key in terms of the both sides of the ball up front and defense creating a tough day for the Cornhuskers. And then who steps in terms of who is really going to be the next go-to guy? Sam Laporta has been Spencer Petras's safety blanket all season. He's been really comfortable with Sam Laporta all season. Now, Sam Laporta's not going to be out there on Friday. Who's going to make the man to step in? I mean, the obvious choice is a Luke Lachey. However, we don't know. We don't know. We'll see. Luke Lachey has more touchdowns than Sam Laporta does, but he's still a sophomore, still a young pup, and still has to grow into the position. But we'll see. I want to see who Spencer Petras finds as his next go-to guy, or if he's able to spread the ball around more now that Sam is not going to be in the game on Friday. Those two things are what I look forward to seeing. And with what I've seen from both teams, from the Hawks and from the Cornhuskers, I'm gonna go ahead and say 24-7. I feel like this defense has done
Oh, wow.
a job all season of really taking away the opposing offenses, what they really want to do. I was the last I don't When was the last time an opponent, it might have been Ohio State, was the last opponent to score over 10 points on these guys. So I really like the idea of them being able to continue that trend against a team that's really still trying to find themselves. They're not dead last in the Big Ten, but they're not far from the bottom of the Big Ten in terms of offense. So this group coming into Kinnick on Friday is not the Nebraska Cornhuskers that you and I grew up watching. It's not the same group. It's
No.
a group that's trying to find themselves. And if the Hawkeyes do what they've done throughout the season, particularly on defense, I don't see this Cornhusker team being able to move the ball on them or score points. So
Nope.
I feel like 24-7 is being generous, but I do feel like Cornhusker offense, led by the quarterback, has been it's been pretty good. Casey Thompson has been pretty good, so we'll see. He's got 2,100 passing yards this season.
I want to see him trying to run on our defense. I want to see that. That's going to
Well, you know, everybody
fun.
likes to try to do things. You know, it
I
becomes a
understand
different scenario. Just like Mike Tyson said, everybody has a plan till they get punched in the face. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
that.
But no, man, it's gonna be a great time. It's gonna be a good game Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern time over there at Kinnick Stadium on Duke Slater Field. It's gonna be a good time. So looking forward to it, and looking forward to a Hawks really continue to grow and put themselves in a good position going into Indy. Because again, we know they win this game, this would be back-to-back seasons is which Kirk Ferentz will have gone to the Big Ten title game representing the West. So it's a great opportunity, and looking forward to seeing how these guys play it out. They definitely salvaged the season. They did more than salvage the season. They put themselves in the best opportunity to win. And I'm looking forward to this game on Friday. So for David Porter, I'm Colin Cole. Thank you guys for joining us on Hawk Talk. I really hope you guys can join, subscribe, click all that good stuff. Again, appreciate you all. God bless and go Hawks.
Go Hawks.